Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. You got your first episode of Drunk History this month. You're going to have another one next month, the career of Pat Swilling. I got a couple of great topics tweeted at me for questions that are possible episodes of Drunk History. Just amazing. Like, Andrew, the dirtiest Saints player ever. That could be fun.
So we got
more coming for you. But donate if you want to donate. So happy.
When is Kevin recording his?
Soon. We got to come up with the topics. We got your topics. Kevin, of course, is off hiking the Andes or whatever the fuck he's doing. So happy free agent Eve, gentlemen. It's kind of started, but not really.
Don't you guys feel like last year they were like announcing a bunch of signings?
I felt like they had real momentum this morning. Like the Saints reached out. They're serious about Jimmy Graham. They're serious about Butler. And I was like, oh shit, stuff's gonna happen today. Like we're gonna get some breaking news. And it just kind of died. And like nothing, like no real big deal is happening.
But don't you guys remember last year they were like. They were not only saying that, like, come Wednesday, this team will sign this guy, but they were, like, disclosing financial terms.
Yeah, like, it was crazy.
Like, the media was leaking deals that were going to happen, like, 2 days later. I just don't understand. Like, the NFL must have cracked down on that.
They must have.
Maybe told agents, like, look, you can't be telling people this stuff until it's official.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
You know what? That's a good point because I didn't see any free agent numbers, agreements, or anything at all. I saw teams like announce.
Not one thing was reported of a player sign that was going to sign with a team.
Yeah, it was all re-signing. Like those were the only numbers. Like the Baltimore guy re-signed.
Re-signing is legal.
Yeah,
but like I'm saying is they weren't even like Rappaport and Schefter. They weren't even like this team is the favorite to sign this guy.
Yeah.
They're too busy covering all the Browns moves that they're making.
Boring as fuck. I want numbers and I want agreements. God damn it.
Browns are just blowing everything up.
I just hate this time of year. I really thought that like not blogging anymore, I could like, you know, rid myself of the chains that bind me. But I just like can't do any work this time of year. I feel like I'm like refreshing my Twitter like every 15 seconds, like panic that something's gonna happen.
And I'm gonna miss a meeting.
Yeah. Like I can't even focus on work.
Why do you need to know the second it happens?
If I don't know. I don't know, Dave. It's a sickness, man.
I was in a meeting when Jimmy Graham got traded, and my phone went fucking bananas. And was fucking vibrating on the table. And people were like, do you need to take that? I'm like, no, it's fine. And then I got out of the meeting and I was like, holy shit. So I was thinking before, me and Dave were talking before the show, thank God the Saints went 11-5 this past year. Because this whole Drew Brees saga, Andrew, would be a billion times fucking worse if the Saints had gone 7-9 again and not 11-5 and won a playoff game. Like I'd have to take PTO this week. Like it would be unbearable.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean
I don't have anything to add to that.
I mean the Atlanta fans are they're just kind of poking because of Minnesota, but they know because the Saints went 11-5, and you can argue that there's no better. I mean, Drew Brees, I guess he could go for more money or whatever, but there's no team that's a better situation than what the Saints have. I really believe that. Like, Minnesota beat the Saints, but that isn't like that much better of a fucking situation than the Saints, or even equal, maybe, you know?
I mean, they have better receivers, their line is decent, and their defense is much better.
Yeah, but they'd have to learn a whole new playbook. Their best running back is injured coming off an ACL tear. Like, I mean, it's lateral, but it's not like, yeah, it's way better, you know? Whereas if the Saints were fucking 6-10, you'd be like, oh, Jesus.
The Saints are also on the rise. I'm not sure Minnesota is. Like, some of their defenders are, well, they're young. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the draft class, but I just feel like the Saints are more ascending.
So Dave, of course, I believe in my heart that as soon as we finish this podcast, I edit it, and while it's uploading to Podbeam, Ed Werder, who is quietly one of the go-to sources for breaking Drew Brees news, he's going to break that shit that he signs a two-year deal as the podcast is getting uploaded. But if that doesn't happen, and it's not done tomorrow, when do you start to go, fuck, this needs to get done? Like, for really reals.
Like, do we, so I, last time I said this, I'm going to let Dave speak, I promise. But I just want to, I want to set up his response. Last time we did this, you guys remember, we were panicking. And I remember all of us kind of being like, you know what? God damn it. Like, I really wish we had just trusted Loomis. And he always gets it done. And he waits until the last second. And that's how he rolls. And we should have just known and not gotten all stressed out. So thus far, I'm staying true to it. And so what I want to know from Dave is, like, Dave, are you going to, like, hold strong till 3:59 on Wednesday? Like, are you gonna wait to panic until it's too late, basically, this time? Or is there an hour or a minute where you say, okay, holy shit, this is bad?
I mean, I'm currently laying in bed with my hands behind my head in a very relaxed position.
That's awkward.
Only if you make it, Ralph. This is all much ado about nothing. This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, everything we've heard, rumors is that they are, like, so close. So Ralph, I mean, I think you're way closer to the truth when you say news is going to break as you're uploading the podcast tonight.
That's how it goes, man. The only news we've ever broken on this podcast that while we were doing the podcast, it broke was Jairus Byrd, and that was ended fucking horribly. So we really don't want it to happen during the podcast. We want it to happen after, because that means good things.
All right, but look, my question, you're not answering my question.
I am getting there. Like, I am 42 getting hours. There, young grasshopper, relax.
So I personally think that it will happen probably by tomorrow before we even get to the deadline. Now, I won't even begin to panic until, I'm going to say Friday. I could even go a few days into free agency.
Yeah, but that's when we get the dead money.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's when we get whacked with $18 million worth of dead money.
Yeah, it's
and
gotta.
Then we got to sign him to his on new top contract. Of that. Right. Yeah.
Does that take place at the start? At the start of the league year.
So So we need it. We need to sign him by Wednesday at 4:00 in order to punt the cap hit for, you know, his phantom years down the road.
Yeah, well, then it's definitely happening before then.
It's gonna
because happen. There's no way the Saints are gonna eat that.
We're all in agreement that it's obviously gonna happen.
I wouldn't.
My question to you, Dave, is at what point? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, are you holding your poker face at 3:59 on Wednesday? Like, no, we're good. Or is there a minute and an hour?
There may be a delay. I'm only going to say no. I still won't be freaking out because there may be a delay in the moment that we
know about
the public find out about it and when it's actually happened.
That's true. I mean, the only thing,
Dave, just so I understand, Dave, you will not panic until it's too late.
Correct. This is There's no reason to even be you don't even need to be thinking about panicking. This is fucking happening.
I'm not.
This is so ridiculous.
I've not. All right,
Ralph, what about you?
It's going to be 2 years, $40 million.
I have not prepared myself emotionally for even the concept of Drew Brees not playing for the Saints. So if that shit goes down, I'm just going to be a wreck. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do.
What point, again, I ask you, hour and minute on Wednesday? Like, if the whole – are you starting to sweat at all if you go to bed tomorrow night?
No, I'm not done. I'll tell you what, Andrew. I'll be nervous if it gets to 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and the if they have an hour left, and the Saints don't have no news at all. Like if it comes out Wednesday at like noon that the Saints have agreed to terms with Jimmy Graham, and I still haven't heard about Brees, I'm like, I'm not worried at all, because I'm like, Jimmy Graham is not fucking coming to the Saints. If they're like, well, Drew Brees, it might not get done, Jimmy, but we got Taysom Hill. I mean, he's better than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Taysom Hill, he's a Mormon, and he's a good guy, and he could play on special teams. Aaron Rodgers, all that guy will get you is a State Farm commercial. I mean, so if they make it moves for like Jimmy
Graham. It might have already happened, and they're just waiting. Yeah. To even leak it because the Saints media team is putting together cool, you know, videos saying Drew Brees and how he's retiring here as a Saint in two years and getting their, you know, they're getting ready for the media blitz.
And I still think there's a possibility that what Andrew had talked about last week a little is like the Saints have laid out all different options for Drew Brees, and it depends on, do we get Graham? Do we add Wilkerson? Do we go get hashtag system corner, like, and they try to get those deals in place, and then they say, Brees, we need you to do option C because we need the cap room or whatever. Andrew, to your answer, if it's 3 o'clock and the Saints haven't done any other moves, and it's not
so
done.
If there's an hour left, Ralph, you're panicking, and Dave, you're not panicking until it's too late.
Correct.
I think I'm going to lean towards Dave on this one. I know we're talking about it, but I refuse to get worried. Like I promised myself last time with the Brees deal that like I would never freak out about this again. And I just feel like too many hints have been dropped by Loomis and Brees. So like I'm admittedly setting myself for at 401, if it's like, all right, Brees is a free agent and any team can sign him, and the Saints have an $18 million cap hit, I am setting myself for like a visceral, unexpected, just like explosive reaction to that.
Well, and here's another thing that I say I'll be worried
about. And he just signed. I just checked Twitter. He just signed.
Seriously?
No, I'm kidding.
You fucking asshole. I was going to do the breaking news drop. But here's another reason why I say I'll be nervous at three, but
you just carried us.
You did.
But see, you believed it, and you know why you believed it? Because it's gonna fucking happen.
But here's the thing, and this is probably where I say I'll be nervous, but I'll probably be in you guys' camp. I haven't prepared myself mentally for the possibility that it could go wrong. Is I saw that Zach Strief press conference today, and they were doing the cutaway to Drew, and Drew was bawling like a little girl, and it was kind of getting misty in my office too, I won't lie. Like that press conference of Zach Strief retiring was phenomenal, and they had all the big players for the Saints there. Drew Brees was there with his wife.
How do you people have fucking jobs that you are sitting around in the middle of the fucking day watching Zach Strief's fucking retirement press conference?
Because, Dave,
who employs you and how retarded are they?
Because,
my language,
Dave,
I should say, how stupid
Dave,
are they?
We don't have a t-shirt empire to manage. We're just little minions on the wheel. That's true. Why. That's right. We're not a captain of industry like you. You know?
I'm in sales, Ralph. I mean, Dave. So I eat what I kill. So you know, it's like as long as I'm killing a bunch of elephants, you know, it's all good. I can watch a Zach Strief thing during the day.
I'm on salary, so I can do whatever to want. I can do whatever the fuck I want as long as I hit my web numbers every month, and I do. So there you go. But That was today. If you didn't watch any of it because you were working, like a good American.
Correct. Yes.
Like a good soldier.
Well, it was
right. But I mean, I saw excerpts of it on Facebook and all that, and I saw Street, you know, getting emotional. And again, also a possible reason why we couldn't have heard anything about Breeze. Maybe they wanted to let Zach Street have his day. Totally. Tomorrow is Drew's day.
Totally. I totally believe that. If that would, because that would just, like if Zach finished up and then Mickey Loomis is like, oh, by the way, Drew, get up here. You know, like, that would, I mean, like, it would just, like, totally destroy the Zach Street moment. But it got me to thinking, like, Dave, where does he rank, like, in the best, not necessarily the best Saints of all time, because I'm not sure he's in the top 10 or whatever, but, like, for offensive line, I gotta say, I think I can make a case that he's the best right tackle in Saints history.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the history as well as you guys do, obviously.
I mean, I would say best right tackle, like, who was the right tackle to Stan Brock? Was that Kevin Haverdink?
Yeah.
I mean, he was okay. I mean, the only right tackles I would say that were in the conversation would be Turley and
Stinchcomb,
yeah. Yeah, those two.
Neither of them played as long, though.
No, neither.
They both made the Pro Bowl. Streif never did, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think you could argue that Streif meant more to the team. Yeah. You know, I mean, I would say Stinchcomb and Turley maybe had better individual seasons, but I would say Streif had a better career.
Yeah. I mean, he's a surefire Saints Hall of Famer. I don't know that necessarily he's a Ring of Honor guy, but the length makes it, Dave, the length kind of, and they love him. So I'd say,
well, like, if you look at the offensive line, like, so Jari Evans, you know, Willie Roaf, Stan Brock. I mean, I'm confident saying those three. And Dombrowski, I would say those four are clearly ahead of him. But I think he's in the conversation for fifth best lineman of all time. Like, you got Joel Hilgenberg, who's in, I'm just looking at a list here. I mean, Hilgenberg would be in the mix. Carl Nix would be in the mix. But, like, I don't know that those guys had, like, substantially better careers than Streif. So I think Streif is in the conversation. Jamal Brown maybe is better, but, you know, 5, 6, he's in the conversation.
Yeah, he was pretty good. But again, they shipped him out, so.
Yeah, Jamal Brown was, you know, he was real good, but it was for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Bushrod was good.
Yeah. But Bushrod was a left tackle, though.
He was.
Dave, where do you think...
I went to a party Saturday night at a friend's house, and Zach was going to potentially be there, but he didn't show up.
Where does he rank on, like, beloved Saints? I feel like he's pretty high up.
By the players or fans?
Both. Either.
I don't think he's loved that much by fans. I think you guys are, like, nostalgic in the moment right now.
Oh, people but you guys fucking hate him.
Big teddy bear.
You guys forget how much Saints fans hated him.
They want to run him off.
Like, I think people in New Orleans, now you got to remember, like, the Saints are an international brand now after they won the Super Bowl and all that. And, like, people that, like, are really clued into the team and, like, know the personalities, obviously those fans are going to love Streif. But, like, I just remember from running the blog and, like, the comments I would get on Twitter and Facebook that, like, there was a huge contingency of fans, of Saints fans on Twitter that would annihilate Streif and hate him because he didn't match up well against the speed rushers.
Oh, dude, speed rushers would own him. And not necessarily own him, but he had times where he would struggle. And it would be, and the thing is, like, he'd have games where, like, it would be, like, mediocre or bad speed rushers that could just, they could just, man, that was his kryptonite, man.
Yeah. You know? But, like, I think, so for fans, I would not say he's one of the most beloved. But for within the locker room, I mean, you look at old teammates, young players that have only been on the team for a year or two. You know, Michael Thomas came out and said stuff today. And you just look at what all these guys are tweeting. Sterling Moore, guys that play on the other side of the ball and that have only been around him for a year or two. And just like, you look at what all these players are coming out and saying. Current Saints, former Saints.
Look who was there today. you know?
Yeah, like to me, that says it all. Like, I just think that guy epitomizes everything you would ever want about a good teammate. And you can just tell, you listen to the coaches talk about him, you listen to him talk about his relationships. And I just think, I mean, I can't think of many guys that I would say are just the ideal character in a locker room. I mean, I would put Morstead in that category. I would put Breeze in that category. You know, Fujita, Deuce McAllister, you know, those are guys off the top of my head that I would put on that list, but they're few and far between, and he's up there.
Yeah, Dave, this kind of
I mean, my thing is, like, he lasted through Sean. I mean, you know, he was here since Sean Payton got here, and he managed to stay on this team through all of it, and I feel like Sean Payton is not a coach who's going to put up with bullshit, whether it's off the field or on the field.
He was the last one, right?
Besides, he closed the book on the 2006 draft now.
Yeah,
because Streif is no more.
So for him to still be on this team, to play at a high enough level that you can make the team every year for that many years, and also, you know, to have the right attitude and off the field and in the locker room for the coaching staff to always want to keep you around for all the younger guys.
They'd have kept it. I don't think they'd. I think if he'd have said he wanted to play another year, they'd have kept him and wouldn't have made him take a pay cut at all. I think you guys disagree with that.
What was your statement?
I think if he would have said I want to play another year, I think the Saints would have said fine, and they wouldn't have asked him to take a pay cut or anything.
Oh, I agree. I'm gonna say there's like, I mean, I know he's running a brewery now, and I'm sure he's gonna get fat and out of shape. But like, I'm gonna leave that there's like a 7% chance that like
they call him back.
I'll say 17. I mean, he's hanging out in New Orleans. If something happens to Ramczyk and like the backup tackle blows and like Breeze is getting killed, I'm going to say there's a 17% chance.
I think it's higher.
Come back sometime this season.
I think it's higher than that. I think Sean Payton said, Zach, just stay in decent shape for till October. Can you do that for me, buddy? Just stay in shape till Halloween, and then the holidays are hitting, and you got to do what you got to do. But
you can
just
drink
the
beers, but maybe just carve out a little treadmill time.
Just carve a little. Just stay in shape till October, and if Ramczyk is healthy and we got a backup, just it's cool, and then you can just go and just let yourself go. But just stay in decent shape till October. Here's the thing that's funny, Andrew. I just thought of it. If one of us had time traveled back to 2006 and the day of the 2006 draft, we'd have been like, this draft, the last person standing is going to be Zach Streif. We'd have been like, oh shit, they're moving to San Antonio. This draft is a fucking disaster. Like,
what was he, sixth round? Fifth
seventh,
round? Sixth round?
Seventh.
Oh, he was seventh?
Yes.
Before Colston.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's one of the only 30 NFL players that were drafted in the seventh round to play that many games. So like what he did is like not, it's so rare, you know? As we close the book on Streif, Dave,
what a great dude.
He is. And the thing is with him, man, the only thing, I wish he would have caught the touchdown on Halloween against Pittsburgh.
God, he was saying that in his press conference that it like haunts him forever.
Dude, the Saints were setting that play up for 2 years. Yeah. They had him in as eligible, and they
couldn't
were just
Sean
waiting,
Payton,
waiting
Sean
for the
Payton
right
just
moment.
Give him another shot at that.
Yeah,
come on, Sean.
I mean, they had people. He was kind of like for his first couple. He was like a cult hero because for like 3 years, I mean, I saw people in the dome with like tackle eligible t-shirts. Like it was like a running gag, you know.
Oh, for two years you would hear that in the dome at least 6-7 times a game.
Yeah. And of course,
isn't that what he named his charity after? Wasn't his charity name, it's like 64 is eligible.
Yeah. And if you watch the Super Bowl video closely, when Tracy Porter's running down the sideline after he scores, they do a shot, and it's Pierre Thomas jumping into Streif's arms as they're just going bananas, which is one of my favorite things from the Super Bowl video. But final question on Streif, Andrew. Ring of Honor or no Ring of Honor on the dome up top?
How many players make the Ring of Honor?
I mean, they do like two a year. I mean, and they could probably fit like 25.
No, not even. I think they only do one a year now.
Yeah. And what's the first year they did three. Max? Like how many?
There's no max, I don't think. No. I guess the max is how many names they can fit around the dome.
Which is what? I mean, let's just like what, 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 30 or 40.
So I don't think he's a top 30 all-time Saint, but, you know, obviously Mickey Loomis is there and Sean Payton is there, and, you know, who knows, like, obviously they have a lot of influence on who gets picked, you know, and so, I mean, I could see him getting in before they retire or leave the Saints maybe, but, you know, if they leave and then it's really just about, like, your accolades as a Saint, like, he's a top 30 Saint, maybe. He's not a top 20 Saint.
I think he's going to get there because I think the media has a chunk of that vote in the Ring of Honor, and the media love him.
Do they?
Yeah, dude, because he was always really open and gave good sound bites and was honest about when the Saints were good and bad. Media loves him. I think he got voted like best guy in the media like four or five times in his 12 years, maybe more than that.
Yeah, he's always good in the locker room. He's got a lot of those $25 gift certificates to Ruth Chris for being the guy that talks to the media even when you lose.
Yeah. So on to free agency. The Saints, we talked about Coleman last week, but they brought in Muhammad Wilkerson, who has, I don't even know if you call it red flags. I think it's like a blinking red light, Dave. That dude was suspended the last four games of the year because he was late to practice and all kinds of stuff. Before we even get into whether you think they should sign him or whatever, do you think this is sort of like the Saints going away from there? We're going to focus on good character guys. We're not signing troublemakers anymore. And does that concern you?
Me?
Yes, you.
I don't know. It doesn't concern me that much. I think the Saints are sticking with the high character guys. I don't necessarily think that Wilkerson is the perfect fit in their mind. You know, he's visited a lot of teams, so
every team, like he's
yeah, he could he. I just so the fact that he visited the Saints isn't as big of a deal as if, you know, this was the one visit he made. So I don't think the Saints are going to sign him.
Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's visiting so many, I agree. I mean, I think he's getting lowballed, and so, you know, he's having to go to all these places to figure out, you know, which lowball offer makes more sense. So, you know, Sean Payton's a good salesman.
Yeah,
he's always been very good at recruiting these guys and convincing them why New Orleans is a good place for them to be. So,
Jets beat writer tweeted out that his NOLA would be the worst place for him because he has a drinking problem. And then Wilkerson's mom went on New York radio and blasted the beat writer to the moon. Look it up on the Googles. It's phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I think there's a chance.
I think there's a chance too, because he's getting a 1 year like $6 to $8 million deal, maybe less.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for Wilkerson, he needs to pick the right team, because if he fucks up again, if he does off the field stuff or isn't any good, he's not getting another nice contract, and he's still young, so he potentially can still get another contract. So
yeah, and that's the thing is, like, if the Saints wanted to take a chance at him, I think, you know, it's like Fairley was coming off of a season where, you know, he had to prove himself that next year. And, you know, Wilkerson's in the same situation. So it's good to have those kind of guys. You want those guys.
Yeah, and he took – and Fairley came to the Saints, and he took a visit to New England and then decided to sign with the Saints. So it's possible.
And Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Not sure.
So it's interesting. But
you know, another thing that's going to be interesting to watch before 4 o'clock on Wednesday is the Saints have 4 restricted free agents, and the Saints have to decide if they're going to tender them to like the lowest, second round level or the first round level. And there's 3 guys out there: Snead, Bro, and Coleman. And you know, I don't think they would give, they definitely wouldn't give a first round tender to any of these guys. But you know, especially with Snead and Bro, like, do they think about the second round tender? Probably not with Snead after the year he just had, but you know, they could risk it. They could roll the dice and let them be free agents, but then they probably lose all 3. So that'll be interesting.
I think they're going to tender. I don't think they're going to, can't they tender at match, but no compensation? Or it has to be.
Yeah, that's the lowest tender. Yeah,
I think they're going to do the lowest tender on.
But you could sign them for cheaper if you don't go the lowest tender. So in other words, like if you don't feel, I think the lowest tender is like $1 million. So I think you could sign them for like the league minimum instead. Mm-hmm. But then you're risking that they'd be a free agent and sign elsewhere. And I think in Bro, Snead and Coleman's case, I mean, those guys would make more than the league minimum on an open market, I would think.
I think they're going to tender Coleman and Bro at the second round level, I think. And I think Snead, they'll let him do whatever he wants.
Do we really think Bro's making a comeback? I don't know. I'm not confident. Bro is a goner to me. He's just a lost season.
You really think a team would try to poach him if the Saints just gave him the minimum tender?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that 2015 is a long
time. I mean
ago.
these numbers are expensive though. Actually, I'm looking at it right now and it's over $4 million for a first round tender.
No.
It's $2.91 million for a second round tender and $1.9 million for the low tender with no compensation. So committing basically $2 million for 1 year to Snead. I mean, to Coleman, it feels worth it because they love his blocking. And I think a 1 year contract for $1.9 million like that, Coleman should get that. You know, he's earned that. But Bro and Snead, man, I don't know, man. I could easily see the Saints feeling like, nah, we'll let them test free agency. Like, we'd love them back, but like, we don't feel like they're worth a 1 year, $2 million.
I think that's true. I think looking at that, I thought it was lower. I say Coleman gets it. And the other two don't, and Saints Twitter fucking has a conniption fit.
Yeah, I still think there's a chance that Bro would resign even if he wasn't tender.
And I think because for a lot of people on Saints Twitter, it's always 2015 with Bro. And a lot of Saints Twitter just hates Coleman for whatever reason. I guess they just don't pay attention to games or whatever. But like Coleman is a really good guy to have on your roster. I'm not saying I want him starting or having to be a main guy, but he's a really good contributor, and the Saints really like him. But Dave,
well, the Saints aren't that deep at wide receiver that they could afford to be picky.
Well, they aren't. That is absolutely right. True. And speaking of which, the news came down today that Jimmy Graham, it's the Saints, and it's Green Bay. So let's play the game, Dave. You are Jimmy Graham. How much money more does Green Bay have to pay you to get you to go to fucking Green Bay and not go to New Orleans? Because it's fucking it's cold in Green Bay, man.
Yeah, probably a good amount. I mean, not necessarily just because it's cold and you have to play outdoors. But just because, you know, you've been here in New Orleans, you're familiar with the situation. And what's going to be expected of you, and you know, and obviously socially and all that kind of stuff. So I think as far as the off the field stuff is concerned, I think that the Saints have the edge there. But again, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that this is even still a possibility, to be quite honest with you. But I guess that means that, you know, the water has gone under the bridge, so to speak. But I'll be very surprised to see Jimmy Graham come back. I can say that.
Andrew, we and you were pumped today. We were getting that first 35 minutes of free agency was fucking amazing. When I saw,
and again, I would, as a fan, I would love to see him back.
Diana Russi, who is a Saints, she's plugged in with Saints news a lot. She broke the Cooks trade. She was like, don't forget the Saints. They tried to get Butler last year. I'm gonna butcher her name. I'm pull her up on my Twitter.
Russi, that doesn't sound right.
Diana Russini. She broke the Brandon Cooks trade. She said, hey, don't forget the Saints wanted Malcolm Butler last year. They're still interested. That came right after the news that that Graham was deciding between Green Bay and the Saints. It was an amazing 45 minutes today. It would be more amazing if they both signed. But Andrew, I mean, Jimmy Graham, I mean, if I'm him, like, Green Bay, yes, Aaron Rodgers is great and all that, but it's still a hypothetical. He knows he goes to the Saints, man. Unless he falls apart physically, he's going to have a good year. The Saints aren't going to let him waste away.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. On some level, I feel like it's a no-brainer to come back to the Saints. I mean, I would think that Graham would want to see out Breeze's career, and you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, it just feels like he never should have left. And you know, I think there's a little bit of a perspective now, you know, that you know, there was the whole contract thing, and he was unhappy about that, and then he got traded, and then there was the tweet to Akeem Hicks, so he was obviously bitter for some time. But you know, I think being in Seattle for a few years and not putting up the stats, and you know, not really, you know, being in cold weather and just being in an offense that wasn't really a good fit for him. And
dude, what the fuck was Seattle? Seriously, what the fuck was Seattle thinking? It's like they didn't use Graham in any of the ways the Saints did, mostly.
Well, I think they felt like Graham would make Russell Wilson a better quarterback, and honestly, in some ways, he did. But I just don't think Wilson is the kind of guy. And honestly, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. Rodgers has a little bit of Wilson in him. I mean, I think he's a hybrid. I mean, he's a hybrid, I would say, between Breeze and Wilson. But you know, he's still a guy that likes to run around in the pocket and wait for the pocket to collapse and get out and kind of backyard football, wait for a guy to get open. And Graham's style is best suited with Breeze, where Breeze is going to put the ball in a window where only you can catch it and no one else can. And as long as you go get that rebound and out-muscle it, that's what Graham does really well, then you're going to put up monster stats. And, you know, I would say Rodgers is more of like a gunslinger downfield. I don't think he's fit the ball. He's not going to put the ball exactly where you need it like Breeze does. So, you know, I think, you know, as much as Brandon Cooks was a bad fit for Breeze, and I think Cooks would be a great receiver for a guy like Rodgers, I think Graham is, they're just made for each other. And, you know, at this stage of his career, and you look at Brady with Gronk and you look at Brady without Gronk, like, I just want to see Breeze have a receiver like this. I mean, there's so many reasons why. You look at the cap numbers. I mean, the Saints have $32 million in space. The Packers have 17. So Saints have more money to play with. Like, if the Saints really want Graham to come, it's not going to be a financial issue. Not that.
No, probably. Yeah. But just to piggyback off of what Andrew said, you know, I think there's some, you know, what did you say, Andrew? Realization or whatever. I think there's some of that on perspective. Yeah, I think there's probably some of that on both sides. I think maybe both, if this happens, if this is really a possibility and they're really talking and they're really considering it, I think then it's a situation where both sides have said, you know what, I made a mistake, you know, and I did this. And I also think, money aside, you know, I think if Peyton is willing to take Jimmy Graham back after potentially being a little annoyed and miffed when he was here, I would say that that's a sign that Sean Payton, he doesn't give a shit. He really wants to fucking win. He knows having a guy like Jimmy Graham with Drew Brees this late in his career is the move to make.
He also knows Drew wants Jimmy back.
Yeah, right.
And he's willing to let bygones be bygones. And let's do the damn thing. We got 2 years. Let's do the fucking damn thing, motherfucker.
And here's the thing. The Saints clearly, you know, we heard names of Malcolm Butler. We heard Jimmy Graham. But we also heard the tight end. How do you say it? I'll butcher it, Andrew. It's Austin Seferian Jenkins. So that tells me that the Saints have decided they are getting a fucking tight end. And it's like with guard last year where they were in on Zeitler, and Zeitler's like, no, I'm taking the money. I'm going to Cleveland. 20 minutes later, boom, Warford is done. So they're getting
it. So if it's not Jimmy Graham, it's going to be Jenkins.
It's going to be Jenkins. And here's the thing. If I'm going to ride or die with the Saints and we're going all in, I want to go in all in with Jimmy Graham. Because it's fun. It's nostalgic. That's the way I want it. And if it blows up, it blows up. I don't care. It's more fun. I got the Jimmy Graham jersey. I can press it. I can iron it. We can be good to go. That's what I want.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned the nostalgic aspect of it, because yes, it's nostalgic for fans, and we would all really love to see that. But you know, Sean Payton, he understands that kind of shit. You know, when he did the Lion King thing, with the sneeze thing. Peyton is a showman, and he is just as much as he is a genius, an offensive genius on the football field, and a great coach and great at time management. He's also pretty fucking good at putting on a show, giving the people what they want, and putting asses in the seats.
Give the people what they want.
I mean, right?
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
It's football at the end of the day. It's definitely football, but he understands this is also entertainment. And I think you're right. I think he definitely, that whole nostalgic thing and getting the band back together, as he probably would say literally in those words. I think all of that also just, you know, we mentioned it last week. It seemed like this past year, Sean Payton is starting to have a little more, he seems to be having more fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I think he could have a lot of fun with Jimmy Graham.
I think Graham would love to be with Ingram and Kamara. Like I think the whole vibe of him being with those guys,
sick.
Like, yeah, it'd be fun, man. And the
Mike Thomas.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we talked about it a little bit last week. Is, you know, if Jimmy Graham goes,
God, myself hyped on this podcast.
if Jimmy Graham grows up and walking around now,
I'm like, I'm ready to put my head through a fucking wall.
Dave, that's a great point that you just made. Is if Jimmy Graham goes to Green Bay, Green Bay fans are gonna be like, Jimmy, you better catch 85 balls. You better have 1,000 yards. You better be the fucking man like you were with the Saints. And if you ain't that, it's going to be disappointing because we're paying you $9 or $10 million. He comes to the Saints and he catches 65, 70 balls. But
he can drop a few.
But if it's 10 of them are on third down, that converts third down, the Saints are 11-5 and he's got 850 yards.
He can miss a couple blocks.
Yeah. The Saints fans will be like, it's cool. That's what Jimmy does, man. It's all good. And we'll be happy. We'll be excited as long as
Jimmy could catch 20 balls, have an awful season. But if he dunks on the Falcons, I mean, that's worth the price of admission alone. And listen, man. Look, if I'm Jimmy Graham, you know what I'm doing if I'm Jimmy Graham? I'm telling Loomis right now, look, I'm signing with you guys. I want to come back. I didn't know what I had, and I miss it. And Sean Payton's a genius, and I know that he can make me good again, or superstar again. And I know Drew can make me a superstar again, and I want to win a Super Bowl with you guys, but two conditions. Number one, no trade clause, because I don't want you guys doing that shit to me again. And number two, you have to, when you sign me, you have to publicly state that you never should have traded me to begin with.
Oh, I thought your thing was going to be I get to dunk on Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. And number three, Sean can't get mad at me when I get a 15-yard penalty in Atlanta.
Dunk.
Those are my three stipulations.
Dunk on Atlanta to make the score 28-3 to Saints Twitter will just spontaneously combust. So, you know, free agency starts at 4, and Wendy,
we would have like a Charles Manson like group suicide, because we'd be like, there would be nothing left to live for. Like we just saw Jimmy Graham dunk on the Falcons in their own stadium to make it 28-3. We'd just be like, we don't even need to see the Super Bowl title this year. We're good.
We'd be like, Lord, take us now. It's we've reached peak Saints enjoyment. You can take me now. And this totally makes up for the Minnesota game.
That Charles Manson reference was pretty dark, by the way. I'm sorry.
Dark.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a little weird.
So
I probably should have picked something different.
Final thoughts on as we get to free agency, and we'll get to questions. But do you think has today changed anything that you thought last week? Like that they're going to do stuff the first hour. Did today make you change any of your ideas and like what's going to happen on Wednesday by like 6 o'clock? Dave?
You know, the only thing that's changed, maybe if any, is, you know, I expected them to get one, maybe two, you know, big flashy free agents early on. You know, the only thing that's changed is maybe I think they'll get three. Ooh. But other than that, no.
Andrew?
Get your popcorn out.
Oh boy.
Get your popcorn out, because you know all those fans that are like, "Oh, the Saints have figured it out now, and they're building through the draft."
Bullshit.
They're not going to be irresponsible with their money. Look, Loomis hasn't had this much cap space like in years. Yeah. Pretty much since he blew it up with Jarris Byrd, okay? And if you think for 1 second that he's learned, look at what they're poking at. I mean, free agency.
They didn't even have this much cap space when they signed Jarris Byrd. That's what was so shocking about it. I think.
Look, they've already given.
Like, where the fuck did they get this money?
They've already given Kurt Coleman the keys. They've already given Kurt Coleman the keys to the Corvette. They've already hosted Wilkerson. They're already poking around Jimmy Graham in corner. Hashtag, and free agency is 48 hours away. All right. So if you don't think Loomis is going to come out with a double pistol, mowing people down, all right? And he's gonna be like DuckTales, and he's gonna have these rooms filled Ooh. With gold coins, and he's gonna let players dive off of the high board into the coins, and spit them out of their mouth like water, and they're just gonna be swimming in gold coins. And Loomis is he's gonna spend. All right, and it's not just going to be the draft. He's going to come out guns blazing, and like I said, I don't know who the Saints are going to sign. They might lose out on System Corner. They might lose out on Graham, but they're going to sign some dudes.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Here's a great question from Brian. Is Sue, because Ndamukong Suh is getting cut by the Dolphins.
How do you say his name right?
I don't know.
Like, seriously, of all the players, like, you can't even say, like, you can barely say Michael Thomas.
But Ndamukong Suh rolls off the tongue.
I mean, I don't get it. Anyway,
it's weird. So he's getting cut. I don't know. My wife is just, she's like, I don't even know what the fuck the Dolphins are doing. It doesn't
my
make
wife.
It happen. They're just, the Dolphins' plan is we're going to get better by getting rid of all our good players. So they're cutting Sue. But here's a great question. Is signing Sue or System Corner the bigger YOLO move? Andrew?
Sue. I mean, as much as, like, at this point, I'm all in with System Corner just because of, like, the jokes. And, you know, this is a year in the making and battling with people on Facebook and on Twitter. And we would get T-shirts made and all that. So, like, I really want that to happen. But if I'm being honest with myself, the product on the field and that I just feel like he's a good player. He'd be a really nice addition. But, like, Sue is a game changer. Even now, even at his age, I feel like
he's been really good for the Dolphins. The thing is, they pay him $20 fucking million, unless you're a defense, if you're a defensive tackle, unless you're getting 15 fucking sacks a year, you're not worth $20 million. But it doesn't mean that he has, he's still a top five defensive fucking tackle. It's just a defensive tackle can't change your franchise. I don't give a fuck who they are. You know, but for the sake.
Yeah, I would take Sue. And, you know, for all those people out there that are like, oh, he's a locker room cancer. And I disagree. Everything I've heard is how ridiculously smart he is and that his teammates like him. And it's more just like, he's just ultra competitive.
Dave, Johnny asks, how many minutes after the podcast is finished will Drew Brees sign with the Saints?
How long does it take you to upload it?
About 15 minutes.
About 12 minutes. 12 minutes. He'll sign in 12 minutes. What time is it now? It's 9:58. Yeah, I'd say like 10:11, 10:12.
So this is from Cali, reclined. Andrew, let's say the Saints get Graham, system corner, and or Colvin. He's a corner. He can be a slot corner as well. And basically yep. fill all the glaring needs. Who do they pull? What do they pull the trigger at 27?
Quarterback.
Wait, so they're getting Graham and system corner?
Yeah.
Well, pass rush, I would think. Well, I still think Loomis is going to want to do enough in free agency.
Got Graham, system corner, and Wilkerson, what would they do at 27?
Yeah, I could see quarterback. Honestly, I could see tight end. I don't think adding Graham is going to stop the Saints from, like, if Hayden Hurst is there and they really like him, like, I think they would take him. I really think Loomis wants to try to make his team as good as possible so that when it comes to the draft, like, if a tight end's there, if a quarterback's there, like, whatever, they're going to take him.
You know, and I know it seems insane, but and I think this guy will be gone, and I know Saints don't draft LSU players, but Mark Ingram only has one more year left on his deal. He's a free agent after this year. I could see this if Geis is there at 27. I could see the Saints taking Geis and Mickey Loomis saying, look, we drafted Deuce when we had Ricky Williams at a different time when you had a feature back. Deuce was basically redshirted his first year. We might not re-sign more. I mean, I could see them going a lot of different ways at 27 if they fill a bunch of holes. But if that's how the Saints operate. They're going to fill as much as they can in free agency, and then it opens up their draft board so they don't have to do.
I think when you look at Kamara and you look at what Kareem Hunt did in Kansas City, I just think you'd have to be crazy to pick a running back in the first round. Like, I know Fournette was a good pick for the Jags, and I know who's the other guy that's good? I'm blanking. Or the Penn State guy this year, Sankey. I mean, that's going to be a nice guy to add for some team. And Ezekiel Elliott was a good first round pick. But I just think if there's any position in the league where you can wait till the third or fourth round to get someone that's just going to be dynamic and it's running back.
Yeah, and the thing is, to be fair, Deuce, when they picked him, they had won the playoff game. And they said Deuce was top seven on their board. So they were just like, we have to take him.
If I'm an NFL team, like, I would have a standing policy and to not take a running back before the third round.
Dave, this is from Don. He asked, if Drew Brees signs with another team, which bourbon pairs well with heroin?
I do not drink bourbon or whiskey or scotch, so I am the worst person to ask.
Bleach.
He knows his beer. Heroin though. Yeah.
And that's right.
Let's see. If Brees leaves, will Peyton buy his Jimmy Johns and walk ons? That's Peyton Manning. No, dude. If Brees leaves, all his little empire in New Orleans goes to shit. Book that.
I heard Peyton Manning selling all his
Papa John's
steaks and Papa John's.
This is a good. We're gonna discuss this right now, but we'll discuss it later. Patrick asks, speaking of dirty players like Sue, who was the dirtiest Saints player of all time? I mean, that's a tough one. You got Turley. Turley was dirty. Helmet tosser.
Charles Bentley.
Charles Bentley was dirty. A sneaky dirty player who Jim Haslett loved was Lamont Hall. That dude was dirty. I'm trying to think of
You know who was pretty dirty? Steve Gleason.
Yeah, Gleason. He had it.
I'll never forget when he was at the bottom of a pile one time and he just punched a guy in the groin.
Well, I mean, he had to do what he had to do because he was a tiny little dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to have a little bit of a screw loose to be a gunner and be that small and be as good as he was. But he was a little bit. He was a little dirty.
Here's an interesting question from Avery, and Dave, you answer, and then Andrew, you can answer. Well, Avery asked, Jimmy Graham return or system corner? You can only have one.
Jimmy Graham for sure, man. What about the t-shirts?
All right, Jimmy Graham.
I gotta go system corner. I can't give up the dream. And I know that Jimmy Graham can help him on third down. Blah 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 blah. I can't give up the dream.
What was that thing on Twitter like 6 months ago? It was like you have to give up one of steak, sex, and beer. I think that's what it was.
I'll give up all that before I give up system corner dreams. Dude, this is a good.
You know what I just realized? Like, someone could be listening to our podcast for the very first time tonight, and we've gone the whole podcast just saying system corner.
they don't even know.
They would have no idea we're talking about Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, good point. We need to start doing that hashtag system corner, a.k.a. Malcolm Butler, for the newbies. For the newbies. We don't want to be a cult. Yeah. We love our hardcore fans. We want to have a big, inclusive tent here. James asked, this is a great question. Dave, if the Saints... What would you do if the Saints somehow got Jimmy Graham, Sue, and System Corner? That'd be fucking amazing.
What would I do? What would I do?
Yeah, what would you do?
I mean, you'd have to run naked on Breeze's lawn and scream Super Bowl, right?
I'd take a PTO day and get drunk in my bathtub with bourbon.
I don't know what I would do. Buy a very fancy, expensive beer and then chug it.
You know what I would do? When we found out about it, I wouldn't answer my phone when Andrew called me, and I would just play the voicemail that he would leave over and over and over again because it would probably be phenomenal. It'd be the new podcast open, wouldn't it, Andrew?
Yes, it would. It would. I'd be telling you to book tickets now to the Super Bowl.
This is a good non-football question, but since Dave, you don't watch many movies, I don't know if you can answer it. Ryan asked, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Oh, the worst movie that I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
I saw Battlefield Earth in the theater with John Travolta.
That movie was so bad.
That movie was bad. Mr. Wrong was bad. I fell asleep in one of the Lord of the Rings when the tree came to life, but I would say Battlefield Earth is pretty
funny. Plan 9 from Outer Space, isn't that the worst movie ever made?
Maybe. Andrew, worst movie? I would say Battlefield Earth.
I really hated the original Twin Peaks.
Wasn't a movie?
Yeah, it was. No, it was. It was a show and then a movie. Yeah, it was.
Wow. That was such a Dave.
Yeah.
I wish Kevin was here to just rail you for that, Dave.
Yeah. Kevin, come home. So that about wraps it up. We, of course, will have maybe mini podcast, maybe a special live show if the Saints do crazy shit.
What about A Fish Called Wanda? Was that movie terrible?
No, that was a good one.
I mean, the thing is, though, it's very Monty Python-ish, and if you don't like Monty Python, you won't.
What about, like, Billy Crystal? Wasn't he in some movies that were just trash?
Dude, he has some fucking trash movie. Forget Paris is trash.
Forget Paris. There you go. That's my answer.
And he has some good movies, too, but he has a lot of trash movie. Analyze This. I don't care what people say. That's a trash movie.
Forget Paris is my answer.
Forget Paris is your answer. Yeah.
I've seen that movie, and it is atrocious.
Godfather 3 is a fucking atrocious movie. But I didn't see it at the theater, so I don't know if it qualifies. So anyway, so if crazy shit happens, we'll go live before next week.
Which Matrix was it that turns into a huge music video?
I don't know. I never saw the Matrix.
I think it was the second one.
I never saw the Matrix movies.
I don't know that I would say that was the worst, because the Matrix movies are cool, but like that one was bad. Very disappointing.
Yeah. So
the last Indiana Jones, where they go all
the last, yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Where they go all alien.
Yeah, that's bad.
What?
Yeah.
What Indiana Jones was that? This is why I don't watch movies.
It's like it was like the modern Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
where they try to go with, like, sci-fi
with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, well, he was old, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it there like a young? Then they introduce a new Indiana,
it's
though.
Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is.
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, he was like young Indiana.
My wife nominates Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. So yeah, we might have to do just a rant.
Rob Zombie is in the running for worst album ever. I'm sure.
That's we might have to do that as like a weird June podcast where we don't have any Saints news at all.
I used to love White Zombie, a huge fan of their first two albums, and then I saw Rob Zombie. This is after he left White Zombie and started his solo career, and I saw him on a TV show do Brick House with Lionel Richie.
Oh my god! And that sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit come to life.
I lost all respect for him. At that very moment, it was the worst thing I had ever seen.
My wife hates Rob Zombie because she hates men with
beards.
She hates men with beards, and his beard, she finds it just disgusting to like the nth degree.
You guys should seriously, after this podcast, go Google Lionel Richie Rob Zombie Brick House. You should watch it. It's the most embarrassing thing ever.
I don't know. I do this show every single week.
It's just like a thrash metal dude like trying to do like, you know, a 70s disco funk tune with Lionel Richie, and it's comical.
Yeah.
You really got to check it out.
This show started out great. We peaked and now we're off the rails. So we're talking about Rob.
All listeners should go do that and then tweet me and tell me what you thought.
It should.
I want to hear what you thought about that, and tell me I'm not right.
Andrew, fire up a poll right now and I'll retweet it from the show Twitter account. So we'll be around this week. The Saints are going to do shit. Andrew explained it earlier. Loomis has $1 billion of cap space. They're doing crazy shit. We'll be
dollar,
back.
Dollar bills, y'all.
They're going to be doing stuff. We'll be back on there this week. But until then, the bar is closed.